Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, teens can get hundreds of text messages a day. You see them with their faces down, whether they're walking or sitting, and they just never seem to look up. But one message that they're not getting is the texting and driving, which is really making parents terrified, parents like myself. This is a really hot topic, and my guest is Dr. Andrew Adisman. He's the Chief of Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics at the Stephen Alexander Cohen Children's Medical Center of New York. Welcome to the show, Dr. Adisman. Let's talk about teens not getting this message. Why aren't they getting this message? Aren't we screaming it loud and clear?
Well, first of all, some teens are getting the message, but not enough are. You know, the data that the CDC just recently released and that we analyzed asked kids in high school, how often in the past 30 days have they texted while driving? And this is the first time that the CDC has included that question in this survey that they do every 2 years. And the data is pretty striking. You know, what they found is approximately 45% of teenagers acknowledged texting while driving. Now, those figures go higher when you limit the analyses to kids who are license eligible. I mean, it doesn't make sense to ask a 14-year-old if he's texting while driving, because the reality is they're not driving a car. But when you limit the analyses to kids who are texting while driving, probably it's more than 50%. But the bottom line is these are huge numbers. And unlike, you know, prohibited activities, let's say like drinking and driving, which, you know, we know goes on to some extent, number one, there's been a very, very strong sort of social taboo placed on drinking and driving. So kids, for the most part, won't let other kids do it in general. And even when it does happen, it's likely a rare or episodic event, meaning, you know, the occasional weekend, as opposed to texting while driving, which is, you know, for some kids, every day of the week. 11% of kids said that they texted while driving every day in the past 30 days. So it's really a common problem in that sense.
It's so scary because both adults and children swerving around on the road, skipping stop signs, in school zones looking down, missing red lights, turning when they shouldn't. I mean, the list goes on. It's increasing the real danger of driving and being out there on the road. So what do we do? How do we get our children to see? You know, back in the day, Dr. Adisman, if kids were caught stealing, you took them to the police department and scared straight, you know, one of those kind of things. How do we, you know, we don't want to scare them, but yes, maybe we do. How do we get them to see the reality of how dangerous this is based on how much a car weighs?
I think first and foremost, parents need to set a good example, and as you implied, parents sometimes will also do texting, so parents need to set a good example. They need to have the discussion with their teenagers about the risk. They need to educate themselves a little bit about the risk. So, for example, distracted driving, so not just teens, not just texting, but distracted driving led to over 3,000 deaths last year and over 300,000 accidental injuries, so there are some, you know, compelling statistics there. Also impressively, when they've looked at the impact or the impairment associated with texting while driving, it's a greater impairment on driving performance than being drunk and driving. So texting,
wow,
it typically involves taking your eyes off the road on average for 4.5 seconds, which at least if you're driving 55 miles an hour, that's like driving the length of a football field without looking outside the windshield. So it's really can have quite an impact on driving performance. So I think that kids need to understand that. It's illegal in some states. And if parents want to take a step further, and I would strongly encourage parents to explore this, is first of all, they can have their teens sign a no-texting pledge. They'll find it easily online. And it basically makes them sign and acknowledge that they're aware of the impact that texting while driving has, and it sort of commits them on paper. And if they want to take it one step further, which is probably the most effective, although it's also the most aggressive way, they can, get them an app for their phone that will disable the texting feature. You know, unfortunately, just like we make cars and sell cars that can drive 100 miles an hour, even though it's illegal everywhere, we sell phones that allow texting while the GPS sensor realizes it's in a moving vehicle. And although with time, 2-3 years from now, probably regs will be out such that they will not allow this, I suspect. But in the interim, what parents can do is put a phone app there, and these are effective in basically shutting down texting services. And also, if you want, phones as well, calls, talking, while it's in a moving vehicle. So I think there are various solutions for parents.
Okay, so these are various solutions. What do you advise we start? I mean, because that last one is severe and would seem to me to be one that you would implement if you do not trust your children. So the first, and I don't know that I trust many children. I don't know even about my own, but the first line of defense would be talking to your children about this, letting them be aware of the dangers, the true dangers, and whether or not it's legal. And then what? Second, maybe the contract. And making sure, how do you know if your child's telling you the truth?
So I agree, absolutely, education is important, and parents can easily find this information online. The phone apps, the irony is, if a child says, I don't text while driving, then in theory the phone app is not a problem. So it's really only a problem for kids who are indeed texting while driving. And obviously, some of these apps can distinguish between being a passenger and being a driver. And it's possible you can also exempt the number if you want to allow, for emergencies for them to be able to text a parent. So I think the phone apps, parents should explore them, but the having a sit down, talking about it, educating both parents and child about the risks, and possibly having a pledge, then all of those things would be, a good start.
You mentioned that they can print out a pledge. Where can they find that?
If they Google no texting pledge, they'll find it easily. I don't have the domain name, but I know it appears in many sites. It's just basically a one-page Word document that summarizes the accident risks, and this way you get a kid to acknowledge that he's aware. It's an educational tool. Obviously, it's not legally binding between a parent and child, but it's an educational tool. It helps foster a discussion. It helps put facts in parents' hands. And hopefully also puts facts in the minds of teenagers.
Well, there is one that I found, itcanwait.com. It can wait. It's a pledge. Share, doing your pledge with your children, no text, is worth the risk. And, these commercials that we see, Dr. Adisman, that are coming out, that say she was texting her friend and was it worth it? Now she's gone. Do you think that those commercials affect kids when they see them? Do you think they just roll their eyeballs about that?
Well, we know that teens by nature think they're invincible, or there's certainly a notion in general, and we see this for adults as well, that I'm different from everybody else, or I'm doing it at low speeds, not high speeds, or whatever. I mean, the reality is, by definition, teens are new drivers. By definition, teens are high-risk drivers when it comes to accidents, and we have good data saying that texting while driving does indeed take a significant toll on driving performance. And so I think that parents just need to get this message out there. I don't think the current campaigns or the current laws that we have are adequately effective. In our analysis, what we did is we took the CDC data, we went a step further, we looked at the frequency of texting while driving in states where it's legal and compared it to those states where it's illegal, and we found no difference. So having laws on the books is not making a difference, at least as it regards to teens. Kids are doing it regardless, and I think that parents and pediatricians need to sort of, make this more of an agenda item in terms of dealing with that and speaking with their teenagers.
In the last minute, Dr. Adisman, wrap up those suggestions that you gave for parents in dealing with their kids to get them not to text and drive.
First and foremost, I think parents need to educate themselves. If they Google texting while driving, they'll find lots of statistics, and the statistics are scary. Number one. Number two, they need to set a good example because the risks apply to adults, and although they may not be new drivers, nobody should be driving the length of a football field with their eyes blindfolded. Number three, the no texting pledge, which as you mentioned is available at itcanwait.com and available at other sites, provides parents with a tangible document, a one-pager that they can have their son or daughter read. It becomes an educational tool. It gets the facts and figures in the heads, hands of teenagers, and then hopefully that can sort of start a discussion and also get a commitment, and then they can discuss having a phone app as well. Although it's a little bit more aggressive, it's certainly more effective.
These are all options that parents need to get through to your children. No texting and driving. Be a good role model, parents. That's what it's all about, healthy children. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.